We're reading Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a pleasure for the eyes, and the tree was to be desired to give intelligence. And she took of its fruit and ate, gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of Jehovah Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and man and his wife hid themselves in the presence of Jehovah Elohim in the midst of the trees of the garden. And Jehovah Elohim called to man and said to him, "Where art thou?" He said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I feared because I am naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told thee that thou art naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree which I commanded thee not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom thou hast given to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And Jehovah Elohim said to the woman, "What is this thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Verse 21. And Jehovah Elohim made Adam and his wife coats of skin and clothed them. And then could we read in Kings, the first book of Kings, and chapter 13. First Kings 13 and verse 33. "And after this, Jeroboam turned not from his evil way." Chapter 14. "At that time Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, was sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, 'Arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and go to Shiloh. Behold, there's Ahijah the prophet, who told me that I should be king over this people, and take with thee 10 loaves and cakes and a cruse of honey, and go to him. He will tell thee what shall become of the lad.' And Jeroboam's wife did so, and arose and went to Shiloh, came to the house of Ahijah. And Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. And Jehovah said to Ahijah, 'Behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee about her son, for he's sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for when it shall be, and when she cometh in, that she will feign to be another.' And it was so, when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door, he says, 'Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam, why feignest thou to be another? But I am sent to thee with a hard message.'" Verse 12. "And thou arise and go to thy house, for thy feet enter into the city, the child shall die, and all Israel shall mourn for him, and they shall bury him. For he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him is something good towards Jehovah the God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam." And now we go to a little bit in Kings, and we come to chapter 22. Chapter 22 and verse 29. 22, verse 29. "The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'I will disguise myself and will enter into the battle, but put thou on thy robes.' And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. And the king of Syria commanded the 32 captains of his chariots, saying, 'Fight neither with small nor great, but with the king of Israel only.' And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, 'Surely that is the king of Israel.' And he turned against him to fight. And Jehoshaphat cried out. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots perceived it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. And a man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the fastenings and the corslet. And he said to his charioteer, "Turn thy hand and drive me out of your camp, for I am wounded." And verse 37, and the king died and was brought to Samaria, and he buried the king in Samaria. Verse 41, and Jehoshaphat the son of Jehu began to reign over Judah in the fourth year of Ahab king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilly, and he walked in the way of Asa his father. He turned not aside from it, doing what was right in the sight of Jehovah. Read one more verse in Luke, Luke's Gospel, and chapter 20. Luke 20 and verse 20. And having watched him, he sent out suborned persons, that's spies, pretending to be just men, that they might take hold of him in his language, so that they might deliver him up to the power and authority of the governor. And they asked him, saying, "Teacher, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, and acceptest no man's person, but teachest with truth the way of God. Is it lawful for us to give tribute to Caesar or not?" But perceiving their deceit, he said to them, "Why do you tempt me? Show me a denarius, whose image and superscription has it?" And answering, they said, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Pay therefore what is Caesar's to Caesar, and what is God's to God." And they were not able to take hold of him in his expressions before the people, and wondering at his answer, were silent. I want to speak about disguises. Just the other day, of course, was Halloween. People dressed up, made to look different, come along and say trick or treat, disguised. It made me think about these scriptures. People who disguised themselves. We had Adam and Eve, they disguised themselves with fig leaves. We had this wife of Jeroboam, she was told to disguise herself. The king of Israel, bad king, thought to disguise himself. Finally, with these people who were spies, who pretended to be just folk, who disguised themselves. God sees through every bit of disguise. You know, we have to do with God, and God, heart knowing God. He knows all about us. He knows all about every person. There's not a creature, it says in the Bible, unapparent before him. For all things are naked and laid bare to his eyes, with whom we have to do. We all have to do with God. The writer to the Hebrews also speaks about the danger of the deceitfulness of sin. The deceitfulness of sin. So we're all in danger of the deceitfulness of sin. But we have these people here, and they disguise themselves. God saw through their disguise. Nobody can disguise himself with God. But the wonderful thing is that God has a message for us, a message of blessing. And despite people disguising themselves, pretending to be what they are not in God's sight, he still has a message. Christ died for the ungodly. God commends his love to us in that we are still sinners. Christ died for us. But we have that couple, beginning of life of humanity, and they disguised themselves. They did what was wrong. They disobeyed God. It's never right to disobey God, whether we're believers or unbelievers. And it was by the disobedience of one man that sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all, for all have sinned. So here we have the history of humanity. It was fairly soon in the history of humanity that Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And then they had a bad conscience, and they tried to cover it up. I don't know what size fig leaves would be there. I'm trying to grow a fig tree. And we've got quite big leaves, but you'd need a lot of leaves to cover yourself. And there they were, they took these fig leaves and they sewed them together, and they thought that would be good enough for God. He wouldn't see them. How many people today, say, clothe their ideas with fig leaves, their lives with fig leaves? They think they're good enough. Many people, of course, nowadays don't believe in God. They think nothing's going to happen after they die. That when they die, that's it. But it's not it. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after death, judgment. And that's true of everybody, whether they believe in God or don't believe in God. But the wonderful thing is that God has made provision for the mess that humanity got into. That's the gospel message. Where sin abounded, grace has overabounded. And so here you have sin abounding. So we say it was one act of disobedience. But what terrible consequences it had. When we sin, it's got consequences. Every one of us, if we sin, it's got consequences. And so Adam and Eve sinned, and then God spoke to them. They tried to hide themselves from God, and it didn't work. It didn't work. In fact, they seemed to realize right away it didn't work, because they wanted to hide themselves under the trees, as well as putting these fig leaves on. They knew well enough it wouldn't work. God took account of them. He says, where are you? Where are you? Good thing to ask ourselves. You know, we sit under the gospel preaching or preach it. Where am I? Because the message in gospel applies to us all. Whether it's a preacher or whether it's a listener, God's message applies to us. Where am I? Good thing to ask ourselves sometimes. Where am I? One says God had to say to his prophet Elijah, what are you doing here, Elijah? Where are you going? What are you doing here? Good thing to ask ourselves sometimes what we're up to. And at any rate, they had to be honest and admit that they had done wrong, but the fig leaves were no good. God saw through the disguise. God sees through the veneer that's in human beings, people who say they're not sinners, but they know well enough they've done wrong things. Many people saying today they're not sinners. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. But the wonderful thing is that God made provision for them. He put them out from the garden. Put them out. We're singing that hymn about welcome to that bright home above. They were kicked out of the garden. You know, they suffered the consequences of sinning. They were kicked out from the garden of paradise. God expelled them from it. But he did more than expel them from it. He, first of all, he gave Eve the light of her seed that would crush the head of the serpent. That's Jesus. She looked on God, looked on to Christ. Even there, gave that prophecy long time ago, before Jesus was born, that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. He said he, the devil, Satan, would crush the heel, of the seed of the woman, but he would crush the head of the serpent. You think of the heel of Jesus, the way serpent attacked him. You know, the devil attacked Jesus at the start of his ministry. We read about that, the temptations that came upon Christ, and he repulsed the devil. He had to flee from him. He quoted scripture, and the devil fled away from Jesus, but he kept attacking him. He attacked him through the demons. You know, that cried out when Jesus was trying to expel them from people. That Jesus was attacked by people right through his life. Then he was attacked by the devil when he was at Gethsemane. But he said, not my will, but thine be done. And he went on to the cross. And what he did on the cross really annulled him who had the might of death, that is the devil, in order to set us free. Wonderful that Christ has gone to the cross. He endured the sufferings, because it was sufferings. Jesus did suffer. He really suffered. He was a human being, and sin apart. But he suffered. Christ suffered at the hands of men, suffered dreadfully at the hands of men. And then he was on the cross at Calvary, and we knew not sin, was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Think of the sufferings of Jesus. said about the devil, he would crush his heel. He did that. He attacked the heel, went from behind. The devil's deceitful and attacks people. He attacked Jesus. He was unsuccessful. But Jesus suffered in order that he might deal with sin. One day he will deal with Satan. In fact, he says in Romans, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And Christ deals with the devil, his church eventually will be with him. But God made a provision for Adam and Eve when before he expelled them from the garden. And that was a coat of skin, another wonderful allusion to the death of Jesus. They tried to cover themselves, cover up their sin, by putting coats of fig leaves that are meticulously sewed together. That's been hard work, you know. However people try, they can't get away from God and his word that penetrates the human mind, human beings. And there they were, God provided them coats of skin. Animals had to die for the coats of skin. Blood had to be shed for the coats of skin. Jesus' blood had to be shed. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. But thank God, Jesus shed his blood, his precious blood. No blood like the blood of Jesus. There's much death in the world. Many people have died in wars and troubles in this world. But there's no blood like the blood of Jesus. Precious blood. The blood as of a lamb without spots and without blemish. The blood of Christ. And that's, we are redeemed. Not with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but by precious blood. So, the animals were killed, and they were clothed with the coats of skin. Wonderful, you know, to be clothed. I was standing before God. I'm clothed with the worth of Christ. Every believer is clothed with the worth of Christ. God doesn't look upon me and my sins, and I have committed sins, I regret to say. And so have you. And so is everybody in the world. But there are people in this world who might say have the coats of skin on. They're clothed with the righteousness of God in Christ. And they're going about with that, these wonderful clothes on. And they've got a passport to heaven because they trust in Christ and his finished work on the cross, have turned away from themselves, repented of their sins, and put their trust in Jesus. Mm-hmm. Wonderful to know the Lord Jesus Christ and the value of his finished work. Be safe through his redeeming blood. Wonderful. You know, when you're safe for time, safe for eternity. And despite the fact that we're sinners, Paul could say, faithful is the word, and worthy of all acceptation, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst or the first. He regarded himself as the chief of sinners. Christ died for him, and he died for you, and died for me. Second scripture, a bad man called Jeroboam. He was in a very favorable position. God had told him he would get 10 tribes and to look after them. But he was expected to do God's work. He was expected to obey God. And instead of that, what he did was that he had a clever idea. He had a clever idea because he saw that when the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, were going on with the descendant of King David, they would have the temple in Jerusalem, and people would come to Jerusalem, and he might end up losing it. Clever idea. I'm going to make two calves. One in one part of Israel, one in another part of Israel. And instead of people going all the way up to Jerusalem, they'll go and worship really idols. Idols of these two calves. And God was very angry with them. Very angry. God speaks time and time again about the sins of Jeroboam, who caused Israel to sin. Well, Jeroboam obviously had a son. And his son was very, very ill. And he thought, well, there was a prophet once upon a time who told me I was going to be king. And he decided he would send his wife to him and disguise herself and find out what God had to, what the prophet would have to say to him. And he's all dressed up. She disguised herself. I don't know why she had to bother, because the man couldn't see in any case. But anyway, she says she did this, that she wouldn't be known to be the wife of Jeroboam. And she was to take something. It took quite a bit of stuff, actually. It must have been quite a lot of 10 loaves and cakes, a cruse of honey. Trying to groom the man, groom the prophet, so that he would be softened. He'd get nice words and say nice things about this son that was sitting on him. And there it was. Comes along. And but God came first. God told the prophet exactly what was going to happen. You can't hide from God. Nobody can hide from God. Doesn't matter who they are. Whether it be a king, whether it be a prime minister, whether it be a ruler, whether it be a beggar in the gutter. Doesn't make any difference. Nobody can hide from God. They put on any kind of disguise they like. You know, people, even beggars sometimes try to cheat and tell you false stories so they might give them money for their drink or drugs or something. Can't hide from God. Doesn't matter who they are. Nobody can hide from God. So this woman disguised herself, and before she went to the door, the man who couldn't see, he probably had cataract or something, and couldn't get any operation in those days, but here he comes along, and she comes along, and the prophet hears the sound of her feet, and he says right away, "Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam, why do you pretend to be somebody else?" But he said he was sent with a hard message, and it was a hard message, a message to go back and tell her husband that the boy was going to die. That was a hard message. And yet, there was something good with the fellow. Good with the lad. It is. He had a bad father. A bad father. I don't know what his mother was like. But a bad father who was turning away people from God. But in that man's house, there was something good in that boy. God took account of it. God takes account of everything. He takes account of every bit of good in people. Every bit of desire there is for God. Every bit of the fear of God, God takes account of it. It might not be much account in Israel. People were interested in these golden calves and going and worshipping them. God took account of this lad. There was something good in him. Made sure that he got a good burial because he trusted in God. But the message was a hard message. The message in the gospel is not a hard message. The message in the gospel is a message of welcome. A message of pardon, a message of peace. But the backcloth to the gospel is the wrath of God is revealed from heaven upon all unrighteousness and all lawlessness, all lawless people, and unrighteousness of men holding the truth in unrighteousness. That's the backcloth to the gospel. And the wrath of God's going to come. It's going to come in this land. People are concerned about Brexit and whether they leave Europe or not, all that kind of thing. The serious thing is the moral state of this country. The moral state. People turning away from God. People passing laws that are in direct opposition to the word of God. That's the thing that matters before God. And one day, God's wrath is going to come. I don't know when it's going to be. But I do know this, that it says in the Bible that God has set a day when he's going to judge the habitable earth in righteousness by the man whom he's appointed, having given the proof to all and having raised him from the dead. And it's going to happen. Not yet. Meantime, it's not a hard message. It's a message of pardon and peace and forgiveness. But it's based in the name of Jesus, the one who suffered on the cross, the one who died in Calvary, the one who went into the grave and who rose again and is now seated at the right hand of God. It's a wonderful message, not a hard message. It's easy. It says somewhere in Romans, the word is nigh thee, in thy heart and in thy mouth. It's not at a distance. You don't have to go to Australia to get it. You don't have to go to some other land to get it. It's near you, in your heart, in your mouth. Doesn't matter who a person is. They can hear the message of Jesus, the message of love, the message of forgiveness, that if people repent of their sins and put their faith in Christ, They can have pardon. Think of what the thief on the cross had. He was a bad man. Bad man on the cross. There's no paradise naturally for him. He's about to die. He was crucified. He's been killed on the cross of Calvary. No doubt his body would be chucked out for the vultures after he was dead. He turned to Jesus. And Jesus told him, a repentant man who had a respect for Christ and knew he was going to come in his kingdom, he said, today you'll be with me. Where? In paradise. Think of paradise. Paradise for a wicked felon who was being crucified because of his sins. But the way to paradise was open. What a message that was. That wasn't a hard message. That was a tender message. A message of love. Today, you'll be with me. You thief, you robber, you criminal, you malefactor. You'll be with me in paradise. Wonderful. Many other people have gone to be with Christ in paradise. But he got into paradise. Because not of his merits. We sang that hymn, I stand upon his merits, Christ's merits. I know no other stand. That thief on the cross got to paradise because of the merits of Jesus. Not his own merits, because he didn't have any. But he got in paradise because of the merits of Christ, who died on the cross for him. I read about this king of Israel. What's his name? He was there when, and Jehoshaphat, he got Jehoshaphat, who was a good fellow, to come and join him. Jehoshaphat had no business allying himself with a bad man, because the house of Ahab were bad, very bad. They'd introduced the Baals into Israel through Jezebel and others, and God's judgment was about to fall on them. But there was a battle going on, and this man gets Jehoshaphat, who's a real believer, who trusted God, who was characteristically a good king. He got him to come along and join him, and thought that things might go well if he had a good person with him. Sometimes people are like that, you know, like a Christian, maybe they could trust them, and think the thing might go well with them. But God takes account of everything. And he knew that this king of Israel was a bad fellow. And at any rate, this king of Israel decided he would disguise himself. And he would pretend. He would not pretend to be a king, and get Jehoshaphat to put on his clothes, royal clothes, and everybody would go after Jehoshaphat and not after him. I don't understand Jehoshaphat being so stupid to have done that. But you know, sometimes we Christians can be very stupid in things we do. Anyway, he allied himself with this king of Israel, and he had to shout out to God for help, and God heard him and diverted those that were against him. And he cried out. You know, if we get ourselves into a wrong position, and alas, we Christians can do that at times, we can cry to God. He always hears us. He heard Peter when he was about to sink, when he was walking in the water. He cried out, Lord, save me. That didn't take long to say, did it? But God heard him. Jesus heard him and helped him. And he helped this man Jehoshaphat, despite being in a wrong position. Despite doing what he shouldn't have done, God held him and answered his prayer. Remember that. God is a God who answers prayer. Henry, this bad king of Israel, wanted to deceive people and pretend that he wasn't the king. So, but it says, a man drew a bow at a venture, smote the king of Israel between the fastlings and the corslets. He was smitten. He was smitten. He tried to hide, but he couldn't hide. You can't hide from God. You can't hide from God. God can use an arrow Just remember that. God can use his word. God can use his word to get at anybody today. And if God uses his word to get at people today, it's in view of their blessing. But in this case, it was in view of his judgment and his death. And the arrow penetrated the man and he died. As God had said was going to happen. His blood was shed, as God said would happen. We can't escape from God. But Jehoshaphat, it says about him, God took account of where he was, characteristically, he was a person who might say loved God. Like a person today who loved Jesus, made a bad error by going after this and joining himself to this bad king of Israel. But God took account of it and blessed him, characteristically. Great thing to trust in the Lord. Great thing if we get into a mess to cry out to him, because he always hears us. He's a wonderful Saviour. And all the way home, Saviour. If we make mistakes in our lives, I've made plenty of mistakes. Great thing to cry to the Lord. He helps us. He always wants to do it. He ever lives to intercede for people who belong to him. What a wonderful Saviour Jesus is. I read the last verse because there was these people who had a kind of disguise. They were pretending to be just folk. They were pretending to be people who appreciated Jesus. You know, for some people like that, they pretend to appreciate Jesus. And they say some good things about him. Teacher, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly. And that's true. So Jesus did. He always taught and said things rightly. Accepted no man's person. That's right. Jesus was like that. He was truthful and upright towards rich people and poor people. Towards people in power and people who had nothing. So what they say was all right. So they pretended to be right people and come along with a question. You know, there's two kinds of questions. There's questions that people ask that are genuine questions, but they really want an answer. They don't know the answer and they want an answer. And that they weren't in that position. They were spies. They were pretending to be just. And it says about Jesus, he knew their deceit. Anyway, they come along and they say this to Jesus, and then they ask Jesus a question about whether to give tribute to Caesar or not. And that was a difficult question, because if Jesus said you don't give tribute to Caesar, they could have gone and reported him and said to him, this teacher that crowds are following, he's telling people not to give tribute to the Roman Empire. And they could have had a real charge against them for sedition or treason or attacks against the empire and being a terrorist. If he'd said to them that you should give tribute to Caesar, then that would have upset some of the Jews that were so strongly against recognizing the government of the empire at all. Jesus gives a very interesting reply. Very interesting reply. Such a useful reply. Such a succinct reply. Render what is Caesar to Caesar. Pay what is Caesar to Caesar's, and what is God to God. But what a good word for us. Even today, as Christians, 21st century Christians, make sure you give God what's due to God, and give what is the authorities what is right. It's important that we Christians live upright lives, lives that glorify God, lives that don't bring any slander on the name of Jesus, but rather by living a life that's godly and upright, that we honour the Lord Jesus in our lives. Well, these are the thoughts I had about disguises. God sees through all man's disguises, that God provided something that's greater than man, that's for the blessing of man. And he does it through Jesus Christ, his work on the cross that lasts for eternity. You know, whatever man does, eventually all gets swept away, but what God does stands. How good it is to trust in Christ and trust in his word. May the Lord bless us all. Thank you. Amen. Sing number 70. Come, hear the gospel sounds. Yet there is room. Tell us to all around, yet there is room. No guilty now draw near, though vile you need not fear. The joy you now may hear, yet there is room. Number 70. Come hear the gospel sound, yet there is room. It tells you all around, yet there is room. Those guilty now from here, those by you need not fear. Suffering towards all, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we pray thee that many people, even today, throughout the world, may hear the message about Jesus and the message about his work on the cross and the need of repentance and the forgiveness of sins that's available to all in the name of Jesus. And may many more turn from darkness to light, in the power of Satan to thee, O God, and find a full and free pardon in the name of Jesus. Seek thy blessing on our fellow men. Pray thee that the more might feel the need of Christ. They might feel the emptiness of the human heart away from thee, O God, and not try to deceive themselves that they don't need God. They don't need the grace of God. They don't need the work of Christ. Open people's eyes, we pray thee, to feel the need of a Saviour, to feel the need of someone to help them and guide them and bless them for time and eternity. May many more turn to thee, O God, while it's still the day of grace. And help each one of us who already know the Saviour. May we appreciate him more and more. May we be thankful for what he's done on the cross. May we be thankful for being covered by the robe of righteousness that's in Christ. May we be thankful for having a resource in the Saviour to turn to at all times. And may we be helped as we go on day by day until we see our Saviour face to face. Bless us all. Give thanks for thy help this weekend and for all thy blessings. Through the Lord Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.